Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service.
And today can be no different. Amen. You don't have a WINS conference or a speaker from overseas, but you just got me. But I believe God can still minister and speak to us. Amen. And we're so thankful for what God has done over this last weekend. Just tremendous men of God. These men that we got to spend some time with, they're just not just Christians in the pulpit, but even away from the pulpit, they are real gentlemen and conduct themselves as true Christians. And I'm so blessed and honored to have been with them. And so we look forward to having that again sometime. But this year, we've got so many special events coming up. Make sure you stay in touch with what's happening and get involved and get connected. It is very, very important. Amen. Well, I want to go to the Word of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, Genesis chapter 12. Amen. If you have your Bibles, why don't you hold your Bible up in the air? If you have your Bible with you, hold it up in the air. Amen. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Saw somebody one time, they didn't have their Bibles with them. They just simply pointed to the screen. The Bible is up there. Genesis chapter 12, it is our custom to stand for the opening reading of God's Word and the text in verse number 1 to 3. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. There's a twofold component in that particular verse. God said to Abram, I will bless thee and I will make you great. Now you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I want to talk to you about that. Blessed to be a blessing. I'm sure you would have heard that many times. Blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're blessed to have our brother, Reverend Sarantos, here with us from Canberra Church. We're good to see you. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're glad that he's here. That was a pleasant surprise to see him sitting here this morning. He's from our very close brother in Christ over there in Canberra. Amen. Let us pray. Would you lift your voices one more time? Father, we sense the presence of your Spirit in the midst of your church with your people. We ask you again, Lord God, that you speak to us, that you anoint your servant and the people of God. Lord, we're thankful that you have preserved your word in holy scripture and holy writ, that we may know what your will is for us. And so I ask you to bless us now. Anoint your servant, the people of God, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Amen. We live in a time in our world where it is a very much a consumer-driven society. Much of today's marketing and retail practices are influenced by this supply and demand economy, or supplying the demand of the consumer. And it is all about the consumer. I was just talking to my daughter the other day. She was working in the hotel. Somebody was giving her a hard time. And, my fatherly advice is the customer is always right. She said, I know, Dad. I know. But that's kind of the way the world is. Of course, advertising itself is slanted towards consumerism. You need to indulge. You deserve this car. You deserve this holiday, these clothes. You know, you're worth it. That's what they tell us. You are worth it, girl. So we are raised with the notion that it's all about accumulation. this has a way of infiltrating our subconscious and our conscious minds, that it's about accumulation. He that has the most toys in the end wins. And, you know, as kids, we play Monopoly and we learn the value of money. And the aim of the game is to own as much as possible and to buy out the competition. And I'm, don't worry, I'm not here to preach against wealth or being blessed, for I believe that God calls the rich and the poor. Many of his people were blessed, the likes of Job and Abraham, Jacob, David, and of course Solomon, the epitome of wealth. But Jesus reminds us to beware of the deceitfulness of riches. Amen. It's great to have the blessings of God, including the riches, but be careful that it does not deceive you. First of all, I'd like to make this inference to say that I believe God is a blessing God. God is a blesser. And God wants to bless his people. We read this, of course, in the wonderful blessing, words of blessing that was to be spoken of over Aaron in Numbers chapter 6. And he tells him that to say these words, that the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Of course, I'm reading from the King James. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Amen. He's telling us to bless our families, to bless our children, just like the song that we sang, that we are to bless one another because God is a blessing God. Amen. Like the song we sang as well, you know, that Jesus be a fence all around me. Amen. That's my prayer for my family. God protect my family. Be our strong tower, our defense, our fortress, and our rock. And we can pray the blessings of God upon our lives and upon our families. Psalms 29 and 11, the Bible says, the Lord will give strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. Psalms 35 and verse number 27, here it is. He says, let them shout for joy and be glad, that favor my righteous cause. Yeah, we favor the cause of God, his purpose. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Amen. Can I tell you that the Lord finds pleasure in prospering his children? Amen. He finds pleasure in it. I'm not afraid of believing that. I'm not resistant to the fact that God wants to bless me. And I know, listen, I know that there's churches out there that you know, the prosperity doctrine gives so that, you know, the pastor can have a private jet and, you know, give us more money, give for the sake of giving. No, I believe that we got to be careful with prosperity doctrine because when the Bible tells us that he wants to bless us, it's not always monetary. It's not always to having all of the material possessions that you want, but I do believe God wants to prosper us. I refuse to believe that I'm just going to always get the negative. I believe that God is a blessing God. He delights, he takes pleasure in prospering us, not just financially and materially, but that your soul may prosper, that your spirit may be blessed. Oh, he's the kind of God that loves us. He's a heavenly father, the Bible says, that is even more righteous than our earthly fathers. Amen. He said, which of you who are fathers of the earth, of earthly fathers, who are evil and wicked, he says, that if your child asks you for bread, that you give him a stone. None of you would do that, even though we are, you know, earthly fathers or wicked fathers, as it were. Which of you that your children ask for a fish, you'd give him a scorpion. Right? None of you do that. But he is a loving father. And me, I know, probably not the best father, but I remember every time I would come home, I'd travel somewhere, and I'd come back. I'd bring some gifts for my son. And, you know, he loves the toys. He loves buses and trains. And so I got him into this terrible, terrible routine and expectation that whenever I would go away, I would come back with something. Well, sometimes I'd be going to places like third world countries where they don't have the shops readily available. And if you buy something from the airport, it's like five times the price. But somehow, you know, I'd come back with something. I had to get something because, and then when I'd come home, sometimes my wife said, no, he's been a naughty boy. He doesn't deserve anything. He doesn't deserve any gifts. He's been a little rat bag. He hasn't been listening to me. And she said, no, don't give it to him. But I haven't seen him all week. I've got this gift. And you know, I can't help it. And so maybe when mom's back is turned, I say, here you go, son. Here's a gift. And you know what? He is so excited. He is so happy. He is so delighted at seeing being opening up this little package and seeing this bus or train or whatever it is. He is so happy. But let me tell you, you know who's more happy than him? I am. I'm happier at seeing him being delighted. I get more joy seeing his eyes light up, seeing him squeal with joy over this little gift. I get even happier. Can I tell you how much more our Heavenly Father is excited? It takes pleasure, the Bible says, in the prosperity. Can I tell you, your God wants to bless you? He said, when I think about you, the thoughts that I think about you, they're not thoughts of evil. They're not thoughts to demise or denigrate you, but they are thoughts of peace. Whenever God thinks about you and I, he's thinking about good things. He's thinking about an ending that is beautiful, that is prosperous, that is filled with blessing. You got to get this in your spirit. You got to get this in your mind that your God wants to bless you. Come on, I'm helping somebody right now. You've been walking around too long with your head bowed, with your shoulder slumped, thinking, well, I'm not good enough. God will never bless me. I've been too wrong. I've done too many sinful things. I've never been good enough. You've got to change your mind because your God, when he sees you, he wants to bless you. He wants to heal and provide and give to you an expected end. He delights. He takes pleasure. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that he's going to give you the numbers to the lottery. I'm not saying that as much as you pray and fast, there may not necessarily be a Lamborghini in your garage just because you pray for it tomorrow. I'm not saying all of this, but listen to me. In every circumstance, in every situation that you find yourself in, it is an opportunity for your loving Heavenly Father, that the one that we call Abba Father, because he's given us the spirit of adoption. This God wants to bless and have his hand upon us, help us through every circumstance, give to us a blessing. Hallelujah. And if you don't have all the money, if God hasn't given you all that, maybe because God knows if he bless you with money, it could drive you right away from the presence of God. Maybe, just maybe, you don't have what you need or what you think you want. It's because God knows that if he gives it to you, you're going to walk right out of the grace of God. Oh, thank God for where you are right now and what you have right now. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. My God is a blessing God. And he tells Abraham, not only will I bless you, Abram, but through you, you will be a blessing, and in you shall all the families of the earth will be blessed. Of course, we understand that all the families of the earth will be blessed, is that this is a messianic prophecy. He's referring to somebody in the lineage of Abraham, that there would be one that would be born that would be the source of blessings of salvation for all families. Can I tell you the greatest blessing in this world? Even if you don't have all of your dreams and your ambitions fulfilled, yet if you can receive salvation from the Lord, it's the greatest blessing in all of the world. To know that when your life on earth is through, that you're going to spend eternity with God, makes it all worth it all. Because he said, through you all the families of the earth will be blessed. What are you talking about? He's saying that one day from your lineage there will be one that will come, that will be born of a woman. And the gospel story tells us that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, overshadows Mary, and what was conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and would be born of her, he would be called the Emmanuel, or God with us. And this God with us, who becomes our Savior, who gives his life upon the cross, who's nailed to a cross, who's hung, and he passes, he dies on that cross, and he is buried in a tomb. And then 3 days later, the Bible tells us that he rose out of that tomb in resurrection power with a resurrected body. Oh, hallelujah, thereby giving to us, this entire world, all of the families, an opportunity in this world for us to be saved, for us to be born again, for us to receive the blessing of salvation. He said, I'm going to bless you, Abram, but through you will be the blessing for all families. Can I tell you here today that if you don't know Jesus, you have an opportunity today to come into a relationship with him, to receive his grace, whereby you can be saved. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you simply believe in Christ, believe that God came to this earth, died, was buried, and resurrected for your sins. The Bible says when he came up out of that resurrection, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts and blessings to men. That means it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter the life you lived. But when you come to God, he can give you salvation. You can be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. The gift of salvation, that he's shed his blood for the remission of sins. He shed his blood on the cross. And the shed blood of Christ means now that our sins are no longer held in account to us, but we can be forgiven. But that doesn't mean that every single human being in this world is going to be forgiven. There still is the element of free will that every human being has. He will not force you to follow him. He will not force you to be saved. He will not force you to be a recipient of the grace and the blessings of salvation. But you have to choose for yourself. You have to make that decision. No wonder the apostle, when in that first day of the church, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when they asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do? And verse 38, Peter tells them, he said, repent of your sins and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, this is a gift given to everyone, to whosoever will. You can receive this promise. You can receive this experience. You can be saved today. Thank God for his salvation. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 5 tells us, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or does he do it by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, for having faith in what God said. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, watch this, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then they, watch this, which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen. Did you hear what I just read to you? He said that we are the children of Abraham by faith, not because we were born Jews, but because we simply believe in God's word. He says, because you believe by faith, you are now the children of Abraham, and the same promise that was given to Abraham is also now part of us, simply because we have faith and believe in God. This, brothers and sisters, is my case to why I believe we can be blessed. We can be blessed with God's salvation, where he can wash away our sins, where we can have peace in our minds, where we can have joy in our hearts, where we can live a life without guilt and shame, where we can live a life without negativity, without depression overwhelming us. We can expect the blessings of God. Well, how do you know you that? Because I simply believe, I have faith in God's word. Come on, somebody. You don't have to be anybody special. You don't have to be anyone gifted or talented. But if you have faith here this morning, if you can believe the promise of God, what is incurred to you are the blessings that God said to Abraham, with blessings, I'm going to bless you. And to whoever blesses you, I will bless. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody. I refuse to walk in negativity. I refuse to walk in depression. I refuse to believe that my life is just simply headed down a spiral gutter. No, I believe I'm a child of Abraham by faith, and therefore I can believe. Oh, I might not be a billionaire, but I can believe that God will meet my needs. He shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. And if you don't know him, if you're not saved, I urge you, today is the day of salvation. I urge you, I feel the Spirit moving on me here today, to tell somebody that you need to make your calling and your election sure. The most important thing you have to do is to make your decision to be saved. He will not force anybody to have their sins washed away. You've got to have faith. You've got to repent. The Bible says when you are baptized, that your sins are washed away. There's nothing magical or powerful about the water itself. It's just like any other water. But it's your obedience and faith to the commands of God that sends your sins are washed away. That's where the blood is applied. Amen. You got to apply the blood. Yes, Jesus' blood was shed for us to be remitted, but the blood has to be applied. That's what Moses told the children of Israel on that last plague. He said, you killed the lamb without spot and blemish, but you got to apply the blood on the lintels and the doorposts so that when the death angel comes knocking on your door and sees the blood on the lintels and the doorposts, it will pass over that house and will not kill the firstborn. You got to apply the blood. How is the blood of Jesus applied in your life? When you have faith and repent and are baptized in Jesus' name. He says in Acts 22:16, he said to Paul, Paul, what are you waiting for? Get up, wash away your sins in baptism, calling upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why we baptize in Jesus' name. We heard Brother Green talk about it last week, that if the name of Jesus Christ was not called over you, then you should be baptized in Jesus' name. Not saying any other baptism was necessarily wrong. We acknowledge all of the journey that we go into, that God leads us into. But here's the fullness of salvation. Here's what the apostles did. Whenever they baptized somebody, they called upon the name of Jesus Christ. Because Father is not a name. It's a title. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is what? Jesus. And that's why you will see in the book of Acts, whenever they baptized somebody, it was always in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are blessed with salvation. Let me just say that we are also blessed in this country. We have brothers and sisters around the world who do not enjoy the blessings of material wealth like we do in this country. In fact, somewhere in Indonesia or the 2040 window of the globe, there is a Easter time, there is a Christian church that's being bombed. The Egyptian Coptics, they get bombed every year. Somewhere in Indonesia or the south of the Philippines, Christian churches get bombed. And so you say, where's the blessing there? Well, let me remind you that even if you are blessed materially in this world, you can't take it with you. Our goal is nothing short of the blessedness of the presence of God. Now, I know you have plans. You want to get married, have kids, buy a house. I know we got plans. We should plan for that, absolutely. But listen, we are not promised a long life. We are not promised that we're going to have all of these things that we think we want given to us. Because the ultimate blessing is enjoying eternity with God forever. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus tried to exemplify. 33 years he was. He didn't live a long life. He didn't enjoy longevity and was able to have a family and kids. He said, but I go. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you where, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. In other words, the glories and the blessings that we can't even imagine is there what's in store for us. Death for the Christian, brothers and sisters, it's not sadness and depression, but it's our graduation. It's our glorification. It's when we are finally receiving. Oh, what a day that will be. What a glorious day that will be when we can look at Jesus face to face and we can experience all the joy, the height, the epitome, the utter, most supreme, ultimate experience of joy. Hallelujah. Come on, don't lose sight of what it's all about. Don't lose sight of the big picture. The big picture is heaven. Don't lose sight of what God has in store for us. Hallelujah. But if you are in this country, let me just tell you something. Here's what research shows, statistics shows, that if you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a bed to sleep in, you are richer than over 5 billion people in this world. You are in the top 25% of the richest people in this world. You are blessed. Amen. If you have any money in the bank, some money in your wallet, or just some spare change in a jar, you are richer than 6 billion people in this world. You are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. You are blessed. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are better off than 500 million people in our world today who have experienced those things. You are blessed. If you can attend a worship service without the fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people on this planet. What we're doing right now, right here, today, is illegal for over 3 billion people in this world. Illegal. You are blessed. Sometimes we forget how blessed we are. I want you to understand something. God's a blesser. He blesses us. But I want you to know something also, that the blessings of God can easily become a curse. Because the blessings of God was not designed for us to hold to ourselves. It is designed to be continued and perpetuated. He said, Abraham, you're going to be blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. When something is cursed, it is in the process of death. And when God's blessing stops with us, it dies. That's why when God called Abraham, he said, leave your family, your kindred, your people, your place that you don't know. He says, I will bless you, that is at least that is to be expected, of course. He says, and you shall be a blessing. I'm going to bless you not so that you can heap it for yourself or accumulate for your own consumption, but I'm going to bless you so that you can serve my purpose to bless others. What I'm going to give you, don't let it die, he says. But you got to give it life by giving it away. Can I tell you that every child of God is to be a recipient, I believe, a recipient of God's blessings. But it's not just for you, but it's so that you can be a blessing to others. It's so that you can continue on, because we were not designed to be hoarders. We were not designed to be like a dam on a river that will stop the water from flowing, but we were called to be conduits and channels. And we are living, we are saturated by a spirit in our world where the attitude is, what's in it for me? What can I get out of it? And sometimes we can take that same consumer mentality in the church, and we come to church and we come to the altar because I need something. But sometimes every now and then we've got to change up our direction. We've got to change up in our mentality and say, God, I've got enough. You bless me with enough. What can I do for you? What can I give for your sake? What can I give for your glory? Come on, we're blessed to shine forth. It's for his glory. We are blessed to manifest the goodness and the blessings of God. He said, Abram, through you, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. It's not just for you to accumulate. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. That's not, you don't make a, we make a life, we make a living by what we go to do every day. We go to work every day and we make a living by that, but we make a life by what we give out, why we pour out. That's what a real life is all about. It's about giving out the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, here's what the Word of God tells us. He reminds us to give because God is a giver. He says, give and give shall be given unto you, shaken, pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. In whatever measure that you give, God will give unto you. Let me remind you, you want to experience the blessings of God and the power of God, open up your heart, open up your wallet, open up your time, your treasure, your talent, whatever God has given to you, give. Hallelujah. I know I'm preaching to the choir because in this church, this filled with people who are incredible givers. I just got a photo from Pastor Max in the Philippines. They're already laying down the tiles. Maybe I'll show them the second service. I just got the photo yesterday. They're already laying down the tiles in that church that he's in. He's built a church that is a flood-prone area. Whenever this rainy season comes, they flood. And so they've elevated the church. They've finally got a building that they've built because of you, that you gave to them. Can I tell you, that's the spirit that we need. And maybe you found yourself stuck in life. Maybe things have dried up. The pantry cupboard is empty. The fridge is empty. There's an emptiness and a dryness. Can I tell you, maybe the one thing you lack, he said to the young man. Jesus said, one thing you lack, give to the poor. He said, I've observed the law all of my life. I've given everything. I followed the word. He said, Jesus said, one thing that you're lacking. Here's the key to your revival. Here's the key to the change that's going to come. He said, give, sell what you have, give to the poor and see what will happen in your life. I'm telling you, the happiest people in the world are not those with the fat bank accounts, and thank God if you got one, but the happiest people in the world are those that are giving, found the joy of giving. Oh, I've got to help somebody right now. Hallelujah. We don't need your money. Amen. You need to give your money. I don't need your money. The church doesn't need your money. You need to give your money, your time, your talent for him so that it can set you free. That's why the Word of God says, you know what Jesus said? It is more blessed to give than to receive. I must admit, as a young Christian, I couldn't comprehend that. I mean, meant intellectually, I could comprehend it, but emotionally, I couldn't comprehend that. It always feels better to get something, to get a gift. But Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because when you give, when you're releasing something that sometimes our hearts can become so attached to, that our spirits can become so consumed with, and when you give, you make room in your spirit for the Lord to be the source of your joy. Not your stuff be the source of your joy, but the Lord becomes the source of our joy. He becomes. That's why it's more blessed to give than to receive, because you open up your heart and your spirit and you make sure that greed and the love of money does not settle into your soul and grip you and cause you to become captive. But instead, when you're giving, you're never more like your Savior. When you begin to give, you reflect the nature of Almighty God, who is a blesser, who's a giver. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. I've got to finish. Musicians, you can come. I believe that many people's emotional and psychological maladies are from self-directed obsessions. Of course, there's a spectrum when it comes to emotional and mental conditions. But it happens when a person's life is so self-obsessed. It's all about me. What can I get out of this? What do I get for serving, for doing this? How am I going to elevate my position, my role, my status? The Bible says that the Lord in Philippians chapter 2, that He made Himself of no reputation, that He emptied Himself, took upon Him the form of a servant made of a woman. In Greek mythology, Narcissus, or Narcissos in the Greek, derived from the word meaning to sleep or to be numb. He was a hunter from the territory of Thespia and Boeotia. He was renowned for his beauty, his good looks, unlike me. He was exceptionally proud in that he disdained those who loved him. Nemesis was Narcissus' nemesis. Saw this, and it attracted Narcissus. He attracted him to come to a pool of water, where when Narcissus saw his own reflection in the water, he fell in love with it. So much so that he was unable to leave because he was so consumed and enamored by the reflection of his own beauty that he starved to death because he couldn't leave, stop looking at himself. This is where we get the term narcissism from. It's a fixation on oneself. And this is very detrimental to the soul. It can fill us with absolute unhappiness. But when you no longer are so self-consumed and say, God, You've given me enough. You already went to the cross for me. Even if You never bless me with any more money, I want to serve You and give to You what I have. When you live your life not to be a consumer, but to be a channel for God's blessings, I believe you'll find the depression begin to lift. The narcissism has to go. And if God has blessed you, you have to bless somebody else. I wish I had time. You know, Jesus saw the 5,000 that were starving. He was moved with compassion. He said to His disciples, how many loaves do you have? How much food do you have? Only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. The Bible says He took it, He blessed it, and they began to distribute the bread. And what's the amazing thing about the miracle is 5,000 men, potentially 5,000 women, 5,000 children. That would be 15,000 people that from 5 loaves. Every time He tore that bread, it somehow continued to replenish. Oh, hasn't stopped. Every time he tore, the miracle continued. The most basic way that you can demonstrate your faith in God's miracle provision is continue to tear and to give and to distribute. I don't know how God did it, but I know there was enough bread that after the 15,000 had finished eating, there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. 12 baskets. They only started with two. Now, because they gave to a multitude of people, they didn't just have two left. They had 12 basket fulls of bread. Can I tell you, the miracle happens when you release. God never blesses this. He always blesses this. Hallelujah. He said in Malachi, he said, you give your 10%, your tithe and your offerings. He said, I will bless you. He said, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you can't even contain. Oh, well, that's for the children of Israel. No, it predated the children of Israel. Abraham gave unto the Lord of his 10%. Jacob, before the law was given, gave of his 10%. It was never abolished in the children of Israel. In the New Testament, it was never abolished. In fact, in the book of Acts, the Bible says that the church sold their possessions and they put it at the feet of the disciples to distribute. Tribute to the poor. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm not saying you're going to go to hell if you don't give your tithes. I'm not saying that, but I am saying it is a principle. It is a universal principle in the Bible that even spans, goes before the law, before Moses, and it was never abolished. In fact, Jesus reaffirmed it to the Pharisees. It's God's plan. God's way of being able to do this. That's why we're able to build churches. That's why we're able to send missionaries overseas. That's why we're able to buy musical equipment. We're able to send people here, there, and everywhere to preach the gospel to the lost. It's a system that God had created. And he says, when you do this, I believe this. He says, when you do this, the devourer will be rebuked. The devourer. You know the devourer, the one that seems to be eating holes in our pockets? And every time, oh, there's a hole in my pocket. That's where all my money's gone out. You know the devourer that eats holes in our bank account? That's, I had some money in there before. What's going on? He says, he'll rebuke the devourer. And he said, he will open up. He said, test me now. Put me to the test. And see if I will not open up the windows, plural, and pour out blessings that you can't even contain. And I for one, I can give this mic around and we can testify. We may not be billionaires, but I can tell you God has always met my need. He's provided for me. I am in the top 25% of this world. Hallelujah. I want you to stand if you will. I'm sorry. It takes so long. Oh, I wish I had time. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to do a work in our lives here today. That I want to give you an opportunity for somebody, for you to avail yourself of God's grace to be saved. The blessing of salvation is incomparable. To know that you're saved, to know that when your life on earth is through, you're going to spend eternity not in torment, but in glory with God. Is the greatest joy that one could ever experience. So would you lift your voices right now in prayer, and I'm going to open up this altar for you if you'd like to come and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you have poured out upon us the blessings that we cannot even count them, Lord God, but we thank you every day, Lord. We thank you first and foremost for your grace in making a way for us to be saved, for going to the cross for my sin, for dying on the cross so that I might live. Lord, today I pray, Lord God, that we give our hearts to you and surrender to your will, that we may serve you, that we may please you. Lord God, that we may avail ourselves, Lord Jesus, of the gift of salvation, to have our sins forgiven, to have our hearts filled with your Spirit, to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. I pray today, Lord God, that you bless all that are here. And the Lord, as you bless us, we will be a blessing to the world. We will be a blessing to your kingdom, to others. I pray, Lord God, that you would pour that upon us even now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to open up this altar today and invite you to come and pray at this altar area here as ministers and leaders and ministers' wives. Leaders' wives are here to pray with you. If you want to be a blessing to the kingdom of God and say, God, I'm opening up my life, my heart to you. I want to be a channel. Perhaps this is something that you've struggled with out of fear and out of your intimidations, perhaps that you find it difficult to release and to let go. Maybe it's just simply being a blessing to share the gospel to others. If you've been saved, you need to share the salvation to other people that are not. This altar is open. If you want to be forgiven, an opportunity for you is here to repent of your sin. Jesus invites you to say, come unto me, all of you that are weary and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. I will give rest for your souls. You need to make your peace with God. Right now is our time of prayer. It's our time to commune with God. This altar.